Today we're talking art and faith with Cicely Hennigan. Her artist name just goes by Cicely. You can see her on Spotify. But some of her background is just like from a young age being a musician, but she's done like great, beautiful worship stuff. You can find some of her stuff there. The album I would really recommend checking out first is an album called Love Letters from, you know, a couple years back. It has these faith elements too, for sure. Some of it is like her singing to God. Some, like the second half of the album, is like God singing to her. But man, it's just like really good, and this rawness and personal, you almost feel like you're like reading through someone's diary in a great way. I'm definitely like a sucker for this type of like honest songwriting and just really gifted vocals. And it's kind of like the opposite of the worst version of Christian radio. And I don't want to be a critic, like, you know, no shade, but just I love the rawness of it. Like, it kind of reminds me of almost like there's a little bit of like this Bon Iver, or whatever his name is, like kind of his early albums, this like rawness and the simpleness, but like meaningful. So I'll try to play a little bit of music now, assuming YouTube doesn't flag it.
For the mundane things, the other 6 days of the week, it may be a simple thing, but it means
yeah, so that's just a little taste, and I love this conversation, and I think you will too. So let's talk art and faith, Miss Cicely. Is there a moment in time that God became real to you?
Yeah, I love how you said that, because I kind of say this thing that one of my pastors said once, was like, there's the day of salvation and then there's the day of lordship. And so it's like, I got saved when I was 12. Like, I was born into a Christian home. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 12. And even just that marking moment of kind of knowing when I turned 12 was like when the enemy just started going crazy over my life. But then lordship was like the choice of, I'm choosing to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Probably was like 17, 18 year old me. Like, I was definitely always like a good Christian girl, like was like, I'm not going to drink and party and do all the crazy things. I'm going to go to church and lead worship and like talk about God, you know, but hadn't like known what surrender and relationship with the Lord looked like when he was in control completely. And honestly, I think lordship, the same way that I think of salvation as like this day when you say like Jesus is everything, but then the rest of your life is the walking out of it. And I think lordship is the same. It's like every day I'm surrendering again to the lordship of the Lord. And some days I don't do it. Some days I'm so stubborn and I want to just be in control. And some days you know, remember how much better life is when he's in control, and I do like surrender. So yeah, I'd say like 12 was like salvation moment, 17, 18 was like lordship, and forevermore. So yeah.
That's cool. Was there something that kind of like drew you to that? Like, was there a series of events, or like, for me, it was kind of like, I hate that it so often seems to be this, but it was sort of like you know, a certain level of pain,
yeah,
you know, like
for
where
sure.
It was just like, I tried to live a meaningful life and to get healthy and to, you know, be healed from my depression stuff and be, you know, and it just like, I couldn't do it myself. And then I feel like, yeah, was there something that kind of led you to that moment?
I even love what you said about that, like, it kind of is hard to be like, oh, it kind of was this like pain, deep pain that brought me here. But I think of like how much simpler like the gospel and like who Jesus is actually is, that pain is still happening, but there's this like, I'm going to be in pain at like my whole life at some point, off and on, always through different seasons and trials and things. But the promise of like having a friend like with me is the difference. And so I would relate, like, when I was 15, 16, I started working in kind of the mainstream space through like television. I did a live like reality show for singing called The Voice and did that. And at the same time, I was going to boarding school to study classical opera vocals. And I, so my life was like blowing up. Not only on a local level, but on a worldly level, I was all of a sudden like in the face of society and getting a lot of attention and being, you know, kind of the poster child of my small town in South Carolina and being like, oh my gosh, like this is the moment. And it's this weird thing of like, it's crazy. I don't know where it comes from, but there is this like weird feeling, I'm sure for everyone at some point, that's like, I want to be famous. Like, so as a child, when none of that meant anything to me, like wrong or right, that was like my MO is like, I just want to be famous. And I think really what it was like, I just want to be deeply known and deeply loved. And I think that this is going to get me that. And so I think that when all of that kind of came crushing down in the way of, so like I did the show, I made it to the second round, didn't like make it past the second round, but was honestly really grateful because I was suffering with a lot of anxiety and depression and like worthlessness and just feeling like I just don't really know who I am outside of this gift. And like, or I think I want to know who I am outside of this gift, but I think that only people want to know me for my gift. And so then when I was like not on the show anymore and I dropped out of boarding school because I was so overwhelmed with anxiety and I was back at home in my small town and no one was there and all of the attention left, I was like, okay, well, I basically have nothing. Like if I've seen what money looks like and what it can buy and all these things, I've seen what fame feels and looks like, I'm unimpressed kind of. So what do I do? And I kind of had this cry out to God moment of honestly like suicidal thoughts. I was thinking, if there is nothing else to pick from and I've just experienced fame, fortune, success, then like I'm out. Like there's nothing else. And I kind of just like started pursuing the Lord, but very like skeptically, like grew up in church. But at this point I'm like, great. I know this God of like, you know, justice and all these things and very like Pentecostal King James version, like thus saith the Lord. But like, do I have a friend? And like, do I have a father that actually cares about me? Like, who am I? Because like, I can't just be this gift anymore. And so the Lord was so gentle and met me so many times, like in my skepticism, and was so patient. And I just would have these like light bulb moments of revelation, like reading scripture and trying to pray without like a false motive. I don't know, but really just curious. And I don't know, like the like friendship with the Lord became real. And I was like, okay, like, I think I'm ready to surrender my actual whole life to this person and it be more than just a ticket to heaven. Yeah, that's like, that was around like 17 years old going into 18 within that year. So yeah, that was kind of my moment.
That's so cool. It's interesting to hear you say that too, because I feel like you talk about knowing him on this like authoritative, like, God space before, and then sort of like it becoming a more personal thing and being more like, it's not just like this is God, but it's also like this father and this friend. And I feel like that, man, that I feel like that is like one of the things I would use to describe the songs I hear from you is like just this intimacy and this trust. And I feel like even in like your Letters album, like this mixture of communicating to him, but then also feel like there's songs that are about like other parts of your life. And I feel like that's such like a good, healthy thing. It's easy to be like, you grow up in church and be like, well, my identity is to lead worship at church. And the minute I step outside of this exact thing, I am sinning or I'm backsliding, you know, or whatever. And so I think it's so cool to see that in your music. I'm curious, how have you seen the Holy Spirit play a role in writing song process?
Yeah, I think I kind of have this maybe controversial thought, but it hasn't felt controversial. It's felt very freeing and like relational with the Lord and I in a general sense, but then it also carries into my creative acts with him, is that my kind of interaction with God is much more like I really do like receive the promise of free will very reverently.
Yeah.
And I think that the church has just like muddied what selfishness is to like what free will actually is in friendship with God. And it can get messy. But I think of the free will of like if I have a friend that I honor, cherish, nurture, and take care of our relationship so well, I am probably not asking this friend to make every decision for me, am I? I'm actually not, because yeah. I've built trust with this friend. There's a mutual respect, a mutual honor, a mutual like mutual, but also like a reverence to like, I love you and I take care of our friendship behind closed doors, in front of people, like thinking of it in that way. So there's parts of me that know I can make a decision and know that my friend's going to be there because that's my ride or die, you know? And so I think of the Lord and like the free will of the friendship of the Holy Spirit to be like, I can just start doing something and he's there. But also like from a scriptural theological promise, like he is literally inside of me. So what I'm doing, saying, creating is like fully infiltrated by the presence of the Lord. And I'm also tethered at the same time. Like, it's not just I'm going to do whatever I want and he's going to say yes or no, but it's like I'm going to do things with a trust that he's here and also with him in mind. So I'm like, if I start to feel conviction, if I start to feel something icky in my spirit, whether I'm writing a worship song or just a life story song, like, what I'm saying is true, what I'm saying is good, what I'm saying is beautiful. And like, you probably know like who Leland Mooring is. He's a dear friend. He's been such an encourager in my life. And we had this like 3-hour phone call one day where he was like just nerding out with me over scripture. It was like the best thing ever. And that's what I love about him. We could just yap about scripture all day and I'm going to learn from him every time. But he said something that has stuck with me so hard. But he did a word study on the word good in Genesis and what it actually means, broken down like in the Hebrew Greek like context, is that the word good fully described and defined is good, true, and beautiful. And so I'm like, okay, so if what I'm creating is good, it's true, or it's beautiful, like it feels just like in tandem with the Lord, like what's happening. And so that has like stirred my faith in songwriting, not only in the Christian space, but in the pop, in the mainstream. And like, as I've ventured down that rabbit hole of like kind of breaking out of just exclusively Christian music, ruffling so many feathers. I mean, the amount of messages I got kind of in my first realm of like releasing mainstream was like, you don't believe in Jesus anymore. And I was like, no, oh, I just believe in him more because he actually meets me in my humanity.
Yeah.
And like, and he honors it. And so when I'm writing, like, yes, there is like a tethering to the Holy Spirit, but it's way less like spiritually front facing than it may seem to need to be.
Totally.
Because there is a friendship. And so it's like, if I like walked into an event with my best friend and I just like had to like scream in front of everyone, this is my best friend, like that would be crazy. Yeah. But when I'm just there, when we walk together, when we sit together, when we hang out together, when I'm like introducing them to people, like that, it's so natural. It's so just normal. So I think of creating with God in that way, especially in the writing room, it's just like he's here. What I'm doing, what I'm saying is like an overflow of intimacy and friendship, but it's also just like a trust that we've walked out this story together that I'm writing about. And then now you're just helping me remember it and like keep writing it, like write about it, you know?
That sounds
good. So yeah. And I mean, even to speak to like Love Letters, that record, funny enough, like I wrote it over the course of years, but I didn't know I was writing a record. I had just written a few random songs that never really went anywhere, didn't get cut by any other artist. And then I had written a song and was like, I would love to put an album around this. I think it was, what was the one that I wrote that kind of spearheaded it? I think it might have been For a Little While, which is like the second to last song on the record. I think I had just written that and thought, I would love to make a record around this song. And then just started looking through my catalog and found these other songs that I'd written over the years that felt super in tandem with the like heartbeat and the sound and the feel of the record.
Yeah.
And then the actual like layout of the album is that the first four songs are songs from me to God and the last four are from God to me. Yeah. So yeah, I think the Lord, I feel like the Lord tethered all of those songs together over the years. Yeah. And then also just like from a creatively like executing standpoint, when I've decided like I'm going to do a record, like I might go into a session and be like, hey, I'm writing a song for this album. This is the theme. This is the vibe. Let's chase something. So there yeah. is structure to it, too, where it's like a plan, but yeah. it is free flowing. So but all of it with the Lord, 100%.
Totally. No, I love that answer so much. I feel like so but filmmaker, I had. You know, the Lord just like rescued me in such a beautiful way that I was like, oh, I'm going to write this story about that. And, you know, kind of just ran with it and wrote it and was like, very, it was very literal. And I was just like, oh, I'm like, God, I don't really like this. This doesn't seem very good. It's not my jam. And I felt like he was sort of like, yeah, me neither. I don't know that he said that per se, but I think I was like, well, let's try again. This time I want you to, instead of trying to write about me, maybe try to write with me, like bring me into the process, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what came from it was so much better and so much more meaningful. And I feel like the reason maybe it doesn't get taught from like the pulpit or something, because people are afraid that someone will say, oh, you're telling me I can do whatever I want. And then they just run off. But the reality is like, you got to take it and personally apply it to your relationship with the Lord. But I feel like it's some version of like trusting him in the process and moving forward. And I feel like a lot of Christians can kind of get frozen and like, no, I'm going to wait for the Lord to like write the song for me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he delights in seeing what his children do and co-create. And yeah. I'm curious, I feel like this kind of connects to this a little bit, but, and I'm kind of thinking maybe a little bit more of like the film space, but sometimes with a lot of faith-based work, it can feel a little false at times. Not all, definitely not all, but do you feel like there's something that stands in the way of some of the faith-based work that we see?
Yeah.
Kind of oof. False. And also feel free to be like, you know, if you're like, nah, I haven't really thought about that.
Oh no. I think about all of these things. I just think I have, and like, I always, cause I can get on a soapbox so fast, but then yeah. I also just like love to preface and be like, I'm 23. Like I'm still learning so much. I don't have like a ton of made up decisions about a lot of things, but I just have things that I feel passionate about maybe right now that could change. But like,
totally.
As of right now, what I'm seeing and experiencing in the 5 years I've been like just fully enthralled in this industry, but also the lifetime that I've just created with God. I know that I've been singing for the Lord since I came out of the womb, 100%. And before then, I think that the biggest wall is fear of man is like so running rampant. And I think another really huge thing that even some creatives that I've been talking with recently have found as a thread of resistance or even fear or distraction maybe is like scarcity, the fear of provision not coming. And I think that not only affects how innovation is like withheld or like stifled, but it's also where like collaboration feels super stunted, like so hard right now. I think that like equally on both sides, like speaking for both sides being stubborn in our own ways, the older generation and the younger generation, both feeling where I've experienced some of the older generation being utterly afraid of innovation and like creativity and newness, because there is such a beautiful, reverent, like consistent and like very proven practice to how they've done things for decades. And then there's like the fear of provision if they try something different that I feel like I've experienced, and the scarcity. And then also where there's been some scarcity from not reaching out to collaborate creatively with younger artists or creatives because they have their way and their thing. And then there's the part of the younger generation that feels stubborn to stay. Like, staying is like not existent right now in Gen Z. I'm like, what is up with this moving to the next thing? And then the next thing, I'm like, just be faithful to something. And I'm so guilty for this, but I'm like, just be faithful. Like that faithfulness is like not even a fruit of the spirit to some of us these days. I feel like there's a lot of like fear of provision. So it's like, if I go to the next thing, I'll provide for myself by doing this, but it's like covered up in this, but I'm making art for God. I'm creating with God. And it's like, or if you just stay in the pocket that like you're in right now and wait maybe one more week, there could be like an open door of provision. But like instead it's like, let's just hop around and find where the next big area of provision is going to come from. That's man-made. And then I think there's also the like can be the stubbornness of where collaboration with the older generation is like, I don't want to do that. They don't understand me. Like they don't get me or whatever. That can happen too. But I think even mutually where they like butt heads is this fear of like this, maybe this like competition of like who's going to win, the older generation or the newer generation. And then when a younger person falls, the older generation's first to be like, this is why TikTok is stupid, like all these things. And here's the thing, like I have beef with some areas of social media, but I also feel like there's things that are happening and changing all the time that are outside of like what maybe even God is trying to do. But like, how can we be nurturing what is actually present to serve the Lord and serve people well with love, creatively, business wise, like all of it. Yeah. And so I think the fear of man and the fear of provision or the scarcity like spirit is just like the biggest wall creatively. And then, but then when all of these conversations finally dwindle, no one's made anything. Yeah. They've either made nothing or they've made half-baked, untrue, copy and paste. And at the time that the creative church or the Christian creative industry is done arguing, the world has already made 10 times better art. And then that's where all the non-believers are going. And so then it's like, oh, wait, now that we've caught up with our arguments, let's just copy what the world's done and put God's name on it. And it's like, you're just not even innovative. Like, you're not creative. We should be the most brilliant artist. And the thing is like, then you, as a Christian, if I celebrate a person that is a believer that is in the mainstream space and maybe like saying things that are a little bit left of center, then the Christian church, it's like, how dare you like affirm this person that claims God but is like cussing in this song? And I'm like, well, because sometimes that's just how it is. Like sometimes I'm just that honest with God too. And so I'm not necessarily like going to shame them for saying that life is hard as H-E double hockey sticks. Because honestly, I relate, you know, and so not to say like let anything slide, but I think that has been the issue is we are afraid. And then I think we're even seeing it now on social media where it's like, then you do find, you see the pure one who is making the art that is innovative and creative, and it's catching wave and it's catching fire, and they are fighting for purity, staying pure. And then everyone makes a joke of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, because I think that you actually have fear of scarcity, like you have scarcity mentality, and you're actually afraid that they're going to just get it all and there's going to be nothing for you. But like, if you just honor and produce and create what God has instilled in you, like there is a specific provision for you. Yeah. And it's just not going to be that person's provision. It's not going to be that person's like success. It's just not.
Yeah.
So I think that feels like the through line.
Totally.
But yeah.
Yeah, that fear. I was just talking to a guy named Jamie Winship, who's like a hero of mine. And he was like, I feel like fear is the number one thing that is the obstacle for creativity, especially with the Lord. Yeah. But even to your point of like, even the fear of others, the fear of man, I think that for an artist too, especially with like, actually, like I'm all for what social media can do in the right context. But I think it's true if we get too used to looking at the other people's opinion on it. So we can try to like do what other people do. I was like, oh, well, Peter walked on water for a little bit when he was looking at Jesus. So now I'm going to go out and just try to mimic that behavior, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you're missing your eyes on the Lord part. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you're just looking at other things. It's like, it's not about what other people are doing, but about what God is calling you to and that personal. Are there any like patterns you find to like when you get the most inspired or like when an idea comes, or like, do you find that even just like logistically, like, oh, it's like when I'm on a walk or I'm.
Yeah. I just like found this clip of Lauryn Hill, like sharing a speech somewhere. And it was like spot on, just like how I explain and how I'd answer this question of like, she said something to the, like to the tune of like, when I'm being like rushed from studio to tour to studio to tour, I'm not going to write, like there's going to be no art coming out of me, because if I'm not living, there's no art. Yeah. And like, that is what makes the art. And so I relate so spot on for that, is if I'm not creating art from a place of living my life, like then I don't want to hear it, honestly. Like if I'm so creatively, when I'm writing a song, it mostly just comes out of just a spot on experience that I've had. So like right now I'm exploring a couple of different project ideas. Like sometimes it'll start with like an idea of a title, like, okay, I'd love to write an album that sounds like this one day. And then I just kind of have that tucked in my subconscious. And so maybe I'm not like hunting it down, but like when I'm experiencing things that feel tandem with that, I kind of mentally note it or like write it in my notes. But like right now I'm exploring a project of just as a creative writing form, is writing songs that are people's names and just like writing about them based on like an imagination kind of path around maybe a few things that I heard this person say or whatever. Like 2 weeks ago, I met this woman at a coffee or at a ice cream shop on my street that I go to like on Sundays usually. And we just started chatting it up. And her name was Sarah. She's lived here since 1991. She loves this neighborhood. Her grandson just started college, like all these things. And I'm like, I learned this about her because I was just getting to know a person.
Yeah.
And then I got home and was like finished eating my ice cream. And I was like, oh, that was such a sweet woman that I met. And so I just start writing things down about her. So then I'm like, I'm going to just write a song. So I like pick up my guitar and I'm like, Sarah. And then I'm like, I wonder what your name is. Like, was it spelled with an A or an A-H? Like just starting to like riff off of what is happening in my mind, because I'm honoring like the way my mind moves naturally.
Yeah.
And so like sometimes it's literally just that I'm experiencing a conversation with someone and I just start bubbling up with creative ideas. And then like on a more work, like 9-to-5 type style, when I go into a session and I'm scheduled to write with someone from 10 to 2 and say I'm going in and I'm writing for an artist or a church, or I'm writing for myself and I'm like, okay, we're starting from scratch. We have no concept. We have no music. We're just going to like talk. And so that again becomes like where the song comes from, is from life. And so I end up in a dialogue with whoever's in the room and we're talking about like, what's new? Like, how's your family? Like we're catching up with each other. And then it's like, you might say a sentence that sticks out to me. And then, but because I'm in a creative mind space, specifically in a session, I'm like kind of taking notes mentally of what you're saying. And I'm gonna be like, okay, like I'm gonna write that down. Like I'm kind of like typewriting in the back while someone's talking. So it really looks so different for me all the time. But I honestly just try to honor whenever I have an idea, I write it down or sing it into my phone. And then who knows, like a year later, I might come back and it's okay. Like we don't have an idea. Let me just scroll through my phone and find something. And then I find that thing I sang in my bathroom while I was putting on my makeup for the morning. And it's like, oh, let's try this. And then it's like two sentences. But that's now the song that we've written. So it really is more simple. And it feels just like as as normal to me as breathing is what writing feels like. And I know that's not the same for everyone, but that's kind of my creative process.
Yeah. That's awesome. I feel like it's so, this is why I love these conversations. I feel like that's like really insightful to get to the practicality of like how your mind and just creatively you're working in that. Is there a song of yours that means like especially a lot to you currently?
I feel like one of my like music mentors in a way, like, I mean, I've just talked to her for the over the years, just off and on about different music things. But she said once, like, when people ask me what my favorite song I've ever written is, I tell them that it's the one that I just wrote.
Yeah.
Because it's like the freshest, like clearest, most up-to-date version of me as a writer. And it feels the most in tandem with who I am. So I would say, like, I did write a song 2 days ago. Like, I just got back into the swing of things after being gone for so long. And I wrote a song with one of my favorite producers, writers, and we just, I mean, it was amazing. But I would say, like, with that aside, like, okay, I put out this album in 2024, like December, and it's my the most proud of any work I've ever made, called Love Takes Time. And I think because it was the first, my first like full blown project that was not in the Christian realm. Like it wasn't a worship record. It wasn't like, it wasn't like love letters. It wasn't even like a devotional. It was just my human like process of 2024. And it was also the first record I had written where I actually wrote the whole project like cohesively together instead of like picking different songs that I'd made over the years and then putting them out together. Yeah. So I would say like the title track on this album is called Love Takes Time. And I wrote it a few years ago and I knew when I wrote that song, it would become a record 1 year.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think across the board, sonically, lyrically, melodically, and storytelling wise is some of my best, clearest work, I think. And it feels the most honest. And I think there's a through line of the story of the song that feels still accurate to my life today. So I love that. But honestly, the whole project, top to bottom, is so honest and raw about just like really real heartache and pain and beauty that I experienced last year. Awesome. But yeah, I'm really proud of it.
Awesome. I'm looking at it right here. Which is there a specific song on it that you would say to start with, or that one that the song specifically jumps out at you?
I definitely tell everyone to listen top to bottom because it's just a missing like practice nowadays to like listen to the art the way the artist hoped for it to be listened to.
Totally.
And so like I have other records that I'm like, yeah, listen out of order. I didn't make it in order, but this record I specifically plan the track list and wrote it and like organized it to tell a story from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And it takes you on an adventure. All 23 minutes of it.
I like it. That's like a perfect short. Like put in your headphones, go for a 23 minute walk.
100%. Yeah. You always end, you'll start and end on a dance party, which is good.
I like it. There's a song that you wrote on Love Letters. I think it's the last one, See You in the Morning. Mm. And I was wanting to just like talk about it somewhat, like it, man, it's so good. And yeah, it's funny being like a filmmaker and I'm not a musician at all. I feel like sometimes they don't have the language for why something means so much to me. But it's so good. But yeah, I thought maybe I would like read some of the lyrics, and if you're down, we could talk a little bit about it.
Sure.
Okay. So it says, take a deep breath in, let your mind slow down, let my presence in. Let my love drown out the cares of today and the fears of tomorrow. And then it's like when the next line, my gift to you is rest. It's like instant tears. But I think for a lot of us, I think that there's this thing where it's like, oh, Lord, I want to be on mission with you. And I do. And I want to be productive for your calling. And I want to be a warrior for the Lord. All of that is not wrong. But I think that sometimes so all that hurry is also like kind of running away from something. And so when I hear the song, when I hear my gift to you is rest, it's okay. It's like, you know, I know so many people who struggle to sleep at night. Often I'm one of them. I don't think it's from a fear place these days, but still just like the gift
of rest and being recharged is so meaningful. But can you talk to me some about like where this came from for you, the song, like where kind of the origin of it?
Yeah. Well, I actually struggled with sleep for many years. It was definitely very spiritual, like very dark, demonic dreams for years, like middle or like high school into like young adult years. And like, I honestly couldn't tell you like what the breaking point was, but I think I had just been like really locked in and praying and asking the Lord for freedom. And just like one day just started sleeping normally. But fast forward like maybe a year or two after that, I was in Chicago and I was stuck in a friend's house during a blizzard. It was crazy. And I was actually supposed to be back in Nashville, but because of the blizzard, I couldn't fly out. So I was like, I don't want to cancel my sessions. I'm just going to do a Zoom write. So I had a session scheduled to write with Mitch Wong, who is the co-writer on that record with me, who is a dear friend. He's the real deal. But we had just decided to do Zoom instead. And so we get on the call. Weirdly enough, the night before this session, I had the worst night of sleep I'd had in like 2 years. Not just like I couldn't sleep, but it was like all the same symptoms as I had had for those 3 years. And so I get on the call with Mitch and I just like broke down. I was like, I'm so sorry, but like, I'm just angry. Like, I feel disappointed that I feel like I got this freedom. And then all of a sudden I'm having this like night of terror again. Yeah. And Mitch was so kind and was like, crazy enough, he also had like a story of sleep struggles in his life. And so it was really sweet to just feel like seen and just encouraged, because I think I was maybe 19 when I wrote this song with him. So just as like a big brother, just encouraging me. And so we actually just talked for like 2 hours and we like talked through all of it and prayed. And then I think he had just gotten married to his wife, Steph, like a year prior. So he was sharing how like his first like 6 months of them being married, he'd say this thing to her, like when they'd wake up, he'd be like, I miss you when we're sleeping. And I just thought that was the most romantic thing ever. I'm like, if that ain't it, I don't want it. But then we started talking about like, I wonder if that's how, he's like, if that's how I feel about my wife and we just got married, like, how does the Lord feel about us when we're sleeping? Like, if God doesn't sleep, like he's just waiting at our bedside, like, what is that like? And so then we just started getting wrecked by the Lord and started writing See You in the Morning. And it's like the posture is like, this is from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so it honestly was like, if we could write a lullaby for adults that breathes promise of like, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to strive for rest. You also like from a sleep perspective, but also from like an emotional, creative, like human experience, like you do not have to strive or stress or feel anxious. You just take a deep breath, like pause. And so See You in the Morning kind of became this prayer. Honestly, for me, like I used it as a prayer for years after it and like before it even came out. And so I knew when I started cultivating what love letters would be, See You in the Morning just felt like the perfect bow on the end for like this promise of rest and this lullaby and this like this prayer to practice out loud. And I think because there's so much fear in the night, like it's like the most out of control state. And so I think there was even so much anxiety of trying to go to sleep again after that night. But to have this promise in song form, which is my favorite form, to just pray and sing over was like what I desired. And I'd even shared See You in the Morning as like a demo to a lot of different friends whose children had struggled with sleep. And it became a prayer for like people in my community. And so I just, it's really sweet. As the whole record is such a just long prayer, but to have this kind of promise from the Lord to remind my heart whenever I feel afraid.
Yeah. So good. It's possible and it exists in music, this beautiful incorporation of the Lord. And I don't mean like just in like making Christian music. I really mean on a much deeper level of like, this is a prayer that you are giving to other people that engages the heart and the soul. And there's just some type of beautiful discipleship and ministry in there that I think is so cool that like I believe that Lord wants to do in other art forms too. But I feel like music is kind of like help lead the way in some of this. Like even with like the Helsers, I felt like I'm not a musician. I'm not a worship leader. But as I'm hearing them teach, I'm like, this is what I want for filmmakers. You know what I mean? This is what I want, you know, and to come into the space as well. Anyway, so I feel like that's such a gift you give. I'm curious, does it, whenever I like have some of my older work, my newer work, like, do you look upon that as like, oh, I love that I made this or was a part of this? Or is there a part of you that's like, oh, I really want to like move on to the next thing, you know? Sure. Like, what's your experience with like old work, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. I think from a very just like standard, not controversial, but could be, but like, It pays my bills. Like, I'm just, like, I'm happy with it, you know? Yeah. I'm like, even if my first album that I put out called 19, sometimes I look at the cover art and I'm like, honey, creatively, what were we thinking for the marketing for this? Like, there are things that have matured in me for sure. But I was like, what I think of it as is this, like, catalog of the memory of Sicily. And so, yeah, like it can get kind of hard sometimes to consider that it's public. But I'm like, I also chose to do that. So I'm not going to be like throwing a hissy fit. So I think when I look at all of my old work, there I am 100% proud of what it is for what it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, would I put those records out today? Absolutely not. Not that they didn't serve their purpose, but I think when I made them and when I put them out, they were exactly what they were most like meant to be. And I feel certain about that. Yeah. And I do and did feel really proud of all of them when I made them and when I released them. Yeah. And yes, now I also do feel like I am innovating and I'm growing and my sound is maturing and changing as I would hope. And I'm always like asking questions to myself and to my work. Like, is this what I want to be saying right now? Okay, weirdly enough, last night, I just felt the urge to rewatch the movie A Star is Born. And it can be kind of it's definitely a heavier film, but I think it is brilliant. Beautiful. And I'd love to even hear, like, as a filmmaker, I'm sure you're like, the scenes, the like, I love film and I respond to film so well, musically even. And I, that's a desire of mine is to even work in the film space as a, like, writer, like a songwriter.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was watching the movie last night and just sobbing. Like, it was just beautiful. But there were all these, like, one-liners that he was saying that I just thought, like, that's so true. And one of the, like, reoccurring themes in the film is like you're being given this space, this voice to say something. And it's like one of the last lines in the film is like, Jack always said that like every song forever is just, there's only 12 notes. And then you finish the 12 notes and the next 12 notes begins in the new octave. And he's like, but it's about what you do with those notes that matters. And like how you see them, how you say them, how you sing them, like this thought of the creative being and the artist that explores within the 12. And I think what I did, like how I explored the 12 when I was 18 versus how I explore the 12 now as 23-year-old is just different. But it doesn't mean that like the way I explained and expressed the 12 when I was 18 wasn't exactly what it was made to be then.
Yeah.
But I should hope that as I nurture, discipline, take care of, enjoy, and delight in the 12 notes, that I would mature in my sound and that it would just sound different. And so I think that's how I think of my whole catalog, but that's also how I stay excited to keep making music. I don't feel burnt out. And I also, there are days where I'm like, okay, I've definitely put out a lot more music than people who have been doing music for 20 years have put out. But honestly, I don't care. Like, I'm indie. I'm not signed to a record label. I could put out any song I want right now. So it definitely still takes like restraint because I have so many songs sitting around and like there is a business to it where I have to like take care of legal things and make sure the people involved are paid properly and things like that. But
yeah,
But when that's taken care of, like, I can put out music whenever, however often I want. And so I'm like, I kind of just, it's so fun. Like, I'm like, these other people get to go to a 9 to 5, 5 days a week. That's so fun. Like, imagine I put out a song every day, 5 days a week. That would be like me going to a 9 to 5, but I'm not doing that. So if I put out 2 albums in a year, like, that's okay, you know?
Totally.
So that's how I see it. It is my 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And like, but it is also like, my journal, and it's my creative expression, and it's how I meet with myself. It's how I meet with God. It's how I meet with others. And I love it, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah. As a music fan, I can say I've always, like, I'm not sure how it goes business wise, but I've never had an issue with an artist releasing lots of music quickly. I'm like, I will consume it all. Like, I will just keep listening, you know. But I know there's a whole strategy to, like, making sure you don't cannibalize your other songs or something. But that's cool to hear. I was curious to hear, even with this process, like, I feel like in the church specifically, I find that a lot of people that, like, really do seek and love the Lord, almost seems like there's this, like, apprehension with ambition. I'm just curious what currently in your life, what your relationship to ambition is like. What's your relationship like with it?
It is really crazy. I think I love to pop the bubble and simplify it so fast. Like, when a college student is deciding that they want to be a lawyer, nobody craps on them when they go to school for law.
Yeah.
They don't crap on them for working 10 hours a day studying and working towards their law degree. They don't. No one craps on the nurses that work 12-hour shifts 7 days a week to take care of people, because that's the desire that that's the path they chose, that they're made for, that they feel called to. Like, nobody talks crap about it. So I put the same metrics on the type of effort that I put into taking care of my gift as an artist, as a writer. I also love to make the argument that, like, okay, if you don't want music around, or you want to, like, squash ambition and hard work, then, like, what if we just all take music away from every one of us?
Yeah.
Like, how happy would the world be then? Like, music is literally, like, God's favorite, in my opinion. I think just music is just, it's just otherworldly. But I think art in and of itself is otherworldly. I'm like, like an artist that's an architect or a designer, and like the house that you live in, the building, like, I just simplify it all to the same metrics that we view every other thing that's outside of art. And so I think ambition for me is like, I like to have goals, but I also like to, again, back to the friendship thing, everything that I'm desiring, everything that I'm, like, working towards, I am really, like, fighting to stay tethered to the Lord. There are days that I get way ahead of him and I start dreaming up my own life, and he's like, that's just not what I want right now, you know, or whatever. But I think this kind of philosophy that I've even gathered from the Helsers is, like, delight over discipline. But knowing that it's more that delight is what makes discipline become real. Because I'm like, if I love something and I care about it, I will then in turn take care of it. Like, if I have a child, I'm not going to say, oh, like, I have to take care of this child so that I can love it. It's like, no, I love the child. That's why I'm taking care of the child. And so I think of my music and my art that way. It's like, there is a discipline that comes because I love it so much. And so because I love it so much, I'm going to have goals. I'm going to have dreams. I'm going to have, like, a desire to get better. Like, I wouldn't want to just stay playing a G chord for the rest of my career when I hear someone like an artist like Motto, who plays incredible classical guitar. I'm like, I want to know that chord, you know? And so I think of it in that way, where it's like the same thing, to have an ambition to know God more. That can also become impure really fast, but we don't make that argument. We just make it around art and creativity and things. Now, but all of it in and of itself, no matter what the medium is, can be done wrong with an impure, like, out of aligned motive
yeah.
and can be done with a pure in alignment, in step with the Lord momentum.
Yeah.
And so I really do just love the art. I take care of it and I ask God questions. And I'm like always in my prayers asking God to like humble me, to bring awareness if I'm doing anything outside of Him. But then I'm also like enjoying the free will, like that circle back, the free will of being like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm going to put out this record. Like, I'm not being like, I'm waiting on the Lord for 5 signs to tell me that this is the album and the day and the time that I should put it out. I'm like,
yeah,
no, I'm putting it out because I made it with Him. He's right here with me.
Yeah.
And if He's not, I'll know. Trust me, I will know. So
I think that's so good. Yeah, I will know, because I think it's easy too to feel like, well, if I miss it, it's over. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And the reality is like God, like you said, like He doesn't save us once. He's like saves us every day, you know? Okay. And it's like, sometimes, you know, I was just talking to the Maldens and they're like, sometimes you have to step out and then learn that that was the wrong thing for the Lord 100%. To teach you. And what that really points out is like a God who's with us every day.
Yes.
And it has grace and wants to lead and wants to be involved, but also delights in seeing His children act. I think for me,
100%.
For a long time, like film stuff was like, I would say it was an idol. It was an identity thing. It was a problem. And there's this whole process of like, kind of really just like laying that down. I was like crippled in depression. I was like, I will do anything I can, like I'll clean toilets, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt like He totally restored me in the sense of like bringing in a new part of my life, but then brought the film stuff back in. But I was like, God, I don't really know how to do this without it like being first place. Like, and I feel like it was something He was kind of reteaching me, but there was sort of this fear. I felt like He taught me how to be a serve Him. But then I feel like it's like, there's one thing from being a servant to the Lord, which is good. But also I feel like we're also His son. And there's a difference between those two, you know. There's like a son, you delight in their decisions and you want to empower them to grow. And so it was just interesting. I feel like it's like having a servant's heart, but also knowing of like you're a son and there's like an inheritance, royal inheritance with that, you know.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because like at church this week, my pastor was talking about holiness and she was talking about the like, you have to have a reverence for the position. And then also having the like relationship. And she made such a cool perspective, or made a cool kind of connection with how like the grandkids of like the royal, you know, queen and king in England wouldn't just run in and be like, grandma, you know, and like jump into her arms. They would bow. And then they would also be like, grandma, you know, because there was an honor and a reverence and a respect for the position while also being like family.
Yeah.
And I think of that all the time, where I'm like, everything that I do is under the submission of the Lord. And it's also with the friendship of the Lord. It's under and with.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So it is that feeling of like, I will know, because I'm begging for the fear of the Lord to be what guides me, begging everywhere. Yeah,
totally.
And then I'm also like in the friendship of the Lord too, and believing that that is where the joy of this comes from. And so I think that even with your saying like, how do I not make this like my idol or whatever, but like keep you first? I think boundaries are so necessary. And another thing that isn't happening creatively right now, because of the pace and the speed of social media, of the way the world works and how fast they are with things and without boundary.
Yeah.
And so I've found that doing boundaries, like I get just as taken care of as when I don't have boundaries. But then it's like, He's wanting to take care of me, but I don't even know I don't even have time to receive it because I'm doing so much.
Totally.
So I am not the average writer. Like when I tell writers that write full time what I do, they're like, there's no way. Like, how do you get songs cut? Like, how do you stay on top? Like most people say write every day. I don't write every day. Like my boundary is 3 sessions a week max, because I'm like, I got other stuff to do. I got other things to enjoy. I got friends to hang out with. I want to have dinner with some people. I want to like cook for my sister and like watch a movie together. Like I want to go on a skip around the park this afternoon, not be stuck in a studio all day. There's even the boundaries.
Where's your fear? You should have more fear than that.
I should have more fear that, like, I'm going to lose the song if I don't write it. No, because I know that I'm going to find the song. Because, yeah, like, I even tell, like, some of my friends that are creatives and, like, writers even specifically, like, what I'm doing is not making songs from scratch. I'm just on a scavenger hunt finding songs that God already wrote. Like, they're already written. They already exist. Okay. I'm just on a scavenger hunt. Yeah. So I'm like, they're not going to go away. It's just going to be whether or not I find a song next week in my next session instead of tomorrow or this afternoon when I do three songs in a day. Like, I'm just not. That's and there are days, like, there might be a week where I have a lot of friends in town that I, like, really want to write with. So I might just be like, okay, I'm going to commit this week. I'm going to have seven sessions and that's going to be crazy. But then next week, I'm not writing at all. Like, you know? Yeah, totally. So I think boundaries too. Within the discipline of like, okay, I'm going to stretch this gift. I'm going to work and I'm going to take care of the craft, but I'm also going to like rest and take days off. And if I'm feeling cooked, I'm not going to write. I'm not going to dry heave a song to appease the world. I'm not. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'd much rather just do anything else.
Yeah. That's awesome. Is there anything you currently feel like God is calling you towards? Like, it doesn't have to be art related, or maybe it is, but just in general.
No, for sure. I definitely, in the music space, when I put out Love Takes Time last fall, that was kind of my like stake in the ground of like kind of course correcting my music career to go more into the mainstream space. And it's like, yes, like I'm all for those that are like, yes, like I want to work in this space because I want to lead people to Jesus. Like, yes, yeah. I hope that that's what my life leads and how I love people to the curiosity and knowing of God. But like, I'm not even really trying to like die on that hill of like, I'm only doing this and I'm only going to make pop music because I want to meet non-believers. It's like, I don't have to do music at all to meet non-believers. My neighbors don't know the Lord. Like, yeah, I can have them for dinner and like nurture friendship with them. Like, you know, and so I'm like, I actually just want to make pop music because I like to make pop music and I love to listen to pop music. Now, what I want to do is to make pop music that has maybe a little more substance. Like, I definitely, there's pop songs and mainstream music that's just like maybe about icky things that I'm just like, yeah, I don't love that. I don't want to listen to that. So I would love to be someone that is another option that's a little bit like more substance driven. Yeah. But still true. Like, I'm going to be 100% the person that I am within my community and the way that people know me in my music across the board. Like, the way that I am with the Lord and the way that I am in church and the way that I am in my house and the way that, like, all of it is true. So, like, when I'm releasing a worship song with a church, like, that is true worship. That is an overflow from the way that I love the Lord. And so is this pop song. And so is this like singer-songwriter song that's about a really hard friend breakup or a really hard betrayal or a really beautiful day frolicking the fields with my friends. Like, you know, like it's all true. And so, but I, as far as like the brand or the label on the direction I'm going is making music in the mainstream space, I really love the collaboration that is outside of the Christian space. That is just more eye-opening. And because I'm hungry to learn more just about the craft of writing itself, I do just want to branch out of like writing with just the same people that I've written with that are in the Christian space that I love dearly. But like creating and collaborating outside of just this one box and releasing in that space. And then, like I was saying, my desire is to make music for film and television. I'd love to have it be kind of like a 70-30, like 70% of what I'm making is like church, pop, mainstream, whatever. And then 30% is like I'm writing songs and releasing songs that are being put into film. So I'm working on that and learning and like trust in the Lord and like just enjoying learning something new.
Well, there's a lot of filmmakers that watch this, so, you know, they can reach out to you. And
yeah, reach out. I've got an entire catalog of songs that I've written for films. So I'll send the Dropbox link.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's I feel dream. Like, even like film stuff, like I don't, I feel like there's been lots of, quote, faith-based stuff coming out that's, like, not necessarily my flavor, but I'm also, like, it's fine that that's there. But I do, what Call to Make is kind of lives in often a darker space, but it's still similar to your point. Like, there's still substance. I feel like there's, like, to me, the best version of experiencing light is experience it in the midst of darkness. And it's like, you see the contrast.
I agree. 100%.
And I feel like the Lord's, I feel like he's on the move with that for artists across the board. I think he's like bringing us into that space where it's like, you know, they say like art, music, film, like it can bypass the analytical mind and go directly to the heart. And so I feel like he wants to do something cool with that. And
for sure. I agree.
Are there any specific resources or albums or like people or anything that you've like, that you feel like are good for believers who feel called to create?
Like, honestly, like, the Helsers, I just spent 6 months under their leadership and it was incredible. I actually like not a huge fan of podcasts. I just wander so hard when I'm listening to them. But weirdly enough, I have listened to every episode of the Helsers podcast and it has helped me so much.
Yeah.
That's honestly like, I think why I'm the creative that I am within the church and like without, like outside of the church too. The way that they speak of creativity is really like, within the foundations of who I am now as a creative.
Yeah.
And honestly, just what I like learned under for the last few years. I love their podcast, Jonathan David, Melissa Helser podcast. You can even look up specific. Can even look up specific episodes on creativity and worship and journaling the voice of the Lord, things like that. Really important. Yeah. I think it works in and outside of mainstream creativity, but and then even at the school, we read a book called A Voice of the Heart by Chip Dodd, and it has nothing to do with creativity, but I feel like it has everything to do with it because it is all about emotions and like the 8 core emotions that we were made with. It changed my life, and I think being more aware of my humanity has made me more creative than I've ever been because I don't really care about what other people think anymore, and I don't feel the fear of man like at all with my creativity because I feel aware more than ever of myself, socially, emotionally, physically, mentally, all of it. And I think reading and learning about my emotions and getting to like name different areas of my life where emotions have either been suppressed or have been kind of in their negative impairment has affected my art. But now having language to what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing to then do something different has changed like how I write and I think how I see creativity. And then honestly, personally, I just love being a student of art. Like I love listening to albums top to bottom. Outside of my genre, I used to be so general and like only listen to like the same 2 genres. It was like worship and like singer-songwriter, maybe. But then I just started like, I would just pick an album and listen to art for art's sake. Like not because I'm trying to find my next favorite record that I'm going to listen to every day. But if I only listen to this album one time, but I listen to it as the way that I would walk around an art museum and receive the art for the art's sake, not because I'm going to buy it and frame it in my house, but because I'm doing the reverence and the honor of like this person spent hours on a craft and they are being so generous as to let me see it, I'm gonna receive it with gratitude whether I listen to it again or not. And the gift is like when you're a student of music and art in general, it's like if you feel moved by it, then you literally now have another thing in your catalog of learning. So I just say like listen to records outside of your normal genres. Sometimes I'll ask people that I meet for the first time, like, give me 3 of your favorite albums and I'll just listen to them, especially when I'm like meeting someone that I'm going to be doing life with in the near future. Yeah. I'm going to be like, okay, I want to get to know you more. Can you tell me 3 albums that you really love? I want to listen to them and like see how you see the world. And that's just such a very natural way to know someone.
Totally.
So I feel like that podcast, that book, and then just the art of being a learner for everything and being willing to enjoy art for art's sake is really the greatest key.
Awesome. Good answer. Good answer.
And watching films. I love films. I should throw that in there for the filmmakers.
I feel similar too, though. Like, I'm like, look for what you feel in this piece of art, in this song.
Yes, yes.
Look for how it connects with you, how it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. I would encourage a lot of people to, like, don't think about other people and how other people will receive it. I think sometimes that's where the church can struggle, is being like, well, I understand what they're saying, but someone else might take it the wrong way. And I'm like,
right,
that's not how art is made. Like, same thing with sermons. Like, don't be like, who else? How are they going to hear the sermon? It's like, you know, just receive it for yourself. But so that's great. Great so point. Good. Awesome. So if someone did want to, like, get in touch with you for, like, maybe syndication for a show or movie stuff, or, you know, for whatever reason, how would they do that? Is there a link specifically?
I do not have a link or a website. I'm kind of like bare minimum indie artist, but I could give you my booking email and you could put it in there in the little drop below.
Yeah.
It's just, I can send prefer. That to you. Yeah.
Cool. Should they?
I love emails.
Emails. Emails are solid. Yeah.
I love them.
Cool. Mm. Awesome. Well, can I close this out in a quick little prayer?
I'd love that.
Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing. I thank you for the way that you are not just an all-powerful God, but that you are friend and father, Lord. I thank you for the work you're doing in her life. I pray that you would bless it. Lord, I pray just continue that sensitive ear of hearing your voice and your direction, Lord. And I thank you that you delight in seeing what your daughter creates and being a part of that process, Lord. And so I just pray a blessing over her relationships, Lord, over her music, Lord, over her time with you, God. I just pray even this week that you would reveal yourself in new ways, Lord, that you could just delight in, Father. And so just bless her, bless the music. And we just worship, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Also good meeting you.
While I tally your mistakes, you think I'm distant, think I'm angry, but I'm not. I am the oxygen you breathe. I am the water that you drink. I am closer, I am better than you thought. So I'm gonna tell you again and again, there isn't another shoe that's gonna drop, my friend. So breathe in and breathe out and stay for a little while. I hear the questions that you ask about your future, about your past. I know you're worried, know you're anxious, but I'm not. I am the answers that you seek. I am the rock under your feet. I'm the compass, I'm the lighthouse when you're lost. So I'm gonna tell you again and again, there isn't another shoe that's gonna drop, my friend. So breathe in and breathe out and stay here for a little while. Oh, breathe out and stay here
But I'm